wonderful recording has started. Wonderful. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us today. This is day number 3 of the Monetize Your Gifts Live Masterclass, and we just wrapped up a session, wonderful session with Selena Maitreya, who talked about, spoke about bringing creative flow back into your business. And we wrapped up that conversation, moving on this afternoon to a very special presentation for you. We're going to do a webinar, actual live webinar, here with Mr. Jewel Watkins. And Mr. Watkins is going to be speaking with us about how to overcome the fear of video and shine on screen. Jules is calling in today with us from London, England, and he is the creator of an amazing program, which we're going to talk about a little bit later, called iVideo Hero. UK-based Jewel Watkins is a former TV producer and director turned online video coach and video marketer. He has directed hit TV shows including The Biggest Loser and MTV's Pimp My Ride. Drawing on his experience of creating shows watched by millions of raving fans, Jewel now teaches entrepreneurs and small business owners how to harness the power of web video to attract more customers. His iPhoto Video Hero online training program has become the leading course for iPhone and iPad-loving business owners who want to make professional-style videos without breaking the bank. Jules covers what's hot in video marketing, and I'm really, really honored and very glad that Jules is able to connect with us. So welcome, Jules. Thank you for coming. How are you?
Hey, Rodney. Yeah, very good. Thanks for the introduction. Very, very professional.
Thank you very much. Well, you know, I'll speak a little bit about Jewel's program a little bit later, but it's an amazing program. I personally own it and I use it, and this particular topic stood out for me, and I knew it was something that I felt very strongly about should be presented in this program, because while we can talk about YouTube and search engine optimization and all of these other marketing strategies, regardless of how you feel about it, myself included, video is something that a lot of us aren't comfortable with, but it is something that's becoming a more prevailing tool in which we get our message out. And, of course, with that said, being comfortable on camera is a part of that process. So while we could speak a great deal about technical sides of creating video, and Jules will share a little information about that a little later, but the number one thing I want to focus on is how to move past the fear of actually being on camera to begin with. And before Jewel starts this presentation, I'll just share with you really briefly. I purchased Jewel's course, like I said, about 6 months ago when I bought my iPad because I wanted to get some comprehensive training on how to do video. But more to the point, this particular piece of his course is what stood out for me and actually made me decide to invest in it. Because I, 8 months ago, said under no circumstances would I be on camera. Jules helped me to move past that fear, and I really now actually, I'm not in love with it, but I enjoy it a lot more than I did 8 months ago. So Jules is going to deliver us a great visual presentation, and we're going to be together for about an hour. So sit back, take lots of notes, and I'm going to let Jules tell us a little about himself and what he's doing, and then get right into it if he's ready to go.
Excellent. Thanks very much indeed. So, yes, thanks everybody who's attending here, and I hope you're going to find this really, really useful. I hope you're going to love my accent, and I might say some things that you don't understand in America, so you won't have to find a dictionary like an Anglo-American English dictionary or whatever to translate me, but I hope you'll be able to understand what I'm talking about. So here we go, how to shine on screen without fear. Just a little bit about me. Rodney's done an excellent job there, so I won't labor over this, but my background is in television as a producer-director for 11 years, worked for channels like BBC, MTV, Channel 4 in the UK. As mentioned, some of my shows, Biggest Loser, which is a big global hit show, of course you must know about that, Pimp My Ride, which is a really cool little show about cars and customization. Another one, which is a UK show, is The Business Inspector, which is a bit like it's a reality show where a business expert, a millionaire, goes into businesses and tells them exactly what they're doing wrong and how bad they are and fixes it all in about a fortnight, as it always happens in TV. So that's The Business Inspector. That kind of show, more the reality, drama, you know, emotional people, things happening, challenges, that kind of TV. And during that, I would end up working with new-to-TV talent. So some people, some experts, would get cast in these TV shows. So, for example, the very first episode of The Biggest Loser, the first series, the first season here in the UK, the fitness trainers, the male and the female trainers, they were brand new to TV, particularly the female one hadn't appeared before. So my job as a director was to get them understanding how to be on camera and how to kick off this new series, this new kind of Biggest Loser here in the UK, and get it right, you know, very, very early on, and make sure that the first episode really kicked off in the right way. So, and the same would be in business shows, where you'd get a business leader who would get this amazing chance to get on TV and get massive exposure, but they wouldn't be used to being on camera. So that's where I'm coming from. Done a lot of different topics, fitness, fashion, shows about film and filmmaking, work with the police, documentary style series, a series about photography, about babies, all kinds of things. And it all sounds fantastic and ideal, but, you know, in that kind of career, extremely busy, never know where you are from one day to the next, whether you're going to be free at the weekend, because I'd be following the dramas going on in these shows and what's happening to these people. So if they were building a house up in Scotland and they had a huge flood and I was making a show about it, I'd have to get on a plane up to Scotland and make sure I was there over the weekend. And so very difficult on my time. And I think that's probably what a lot of entrepreneurs find. People who are in business or in conventional jobs, they find that they don't have a lot of time to themselves, and they're looking for ways and means of leveraging that better, using video and monetizing their expertise, monetizing their gifts. So I'm kind of with you in that. I'm on this journey myself. And I mean, if you want to check me out, I've got a blog at videohero.com. There's my email. If you ever want to get in touch with me, absolutely fine. But my online journey, I recognize this tremendous power of online video, and how I noticed people who weren't experts in video creating good videos and creating their own networks. I noticed video podcast shows like The Rise to the Top, which ironically, a year later or so, having noticed it, I ended up actually on it as a guest, which was amazing, having looked at it from afar. But I noticed people like David Simon Garland using video and creating their own network, their own TV station in essence. And I thought, it's amazing, you know, I was in a very controlled environment. Everything I created didn't belong to me, it belonged to the TV companies I worked for. I could see people leveraging this content, being able to monetize it. That really excited me. For the first time, I'd be able to actually control some of these assets. And I think that's what many entrepreneurs are realizing now, that you can create literally from your desktop, from your laptop, from your iPad, from your iPhone, you can create valuable content. And this ability to basically clone yourself, to become a virtual you that can be teaching people even when you're sleeping, as opposed to me, who was running around Europe, the world sometimes, Far East, filming all the time, never knowing where I am, I could actually leverage my skills using video. So I started creating a couple of video products, and Rodney's referred to one of them, which we'll mention a bit later. And I realized that, you know, my place in this amazing world that we're in right now was in coaching entrepreneurs how to create videos and to market with video. I spent a couple of years actually really going into the marketing side of it and learning about the marketing and marketing my own products. So I realized that, you know, this is where I could find my little niche in this whole world. So here I am. And let's crack into the extra body of the content right now. So the importance of being on camera, well, I just alluded to it right there. It's being able to scale yourself, to replicate yourself, to create this virtual you and give this face-to-face contact, you know. Face-to-face contact is the ideal way to meet people, but it's just not possible because, firstly, you can't be everywhere. You know, it's a global market. So, you know, hopefully we might meet in person sometime, but right now I'm not planning a trip to the US, so we're not going to meet face-to-face. But on video, you know, you can see me. You'll be able to see me in my products, in my blog, and you'll start to get to know me. So it's a way of getting as close as possible to this face-to-face contact. And that's pretty amazing. Then there's the whole thing about transparency. There's a big trend away from hiding behind what you're doing. And I think really social media is to thank for this, really. For example, you know, Facebook, people are connecting on Facebook, whether it's a business page or people are friending you. People want to find out about you. They expect to see your photo there. They expect to see a photo next to your post that you make, not for you to be hiding behind an avatar. People are seeking to know, who is this person? Do I want to connect with them? Do I want to learn from them? Do I want to eventually invest money in them? In the days of just hiding behind a sales video, just pure text and no reference to you, no links to really contact you or to show who you are. I think those are sort of fading away now. People, particularly in many niches, are really looking to have some understanding of who this person is before they actually decide to spend time with them. So getting on camera can really help you be unlike those people who are still hiding, who are maybe not willing to be totally open about what they're up to. So it really does give you an advantage. And also there's the recognition factor. Again, I talked about me having worked in reality TV, and what I noticed there is how fast people on TV get followed, and people start to want to know more about them. They want to find out a little bit of background about who these people are. They start to support them. You know, imagine, like, I don't know, X Factor, for example, how quickly, even after a couple of auditions, people suddenly start backing one of the contestants and hoping they're going to get through to the next round and get to the final. And instantly, just glimpsing them, just seeing how they talk, how they act, how what they wear, creates this sort of bond that people want to follow. And you can leverage that, because although, you know, us online people might think that TV is kind of, you know, fading, it's still a massive medium, and people are brought up on this diet of watching these TV shows. So in a way, we're creating our own version of this ourselves, and we're basically, people have been brought up on this diet, and we're feeding them more of this. We're feeding them something that's familiar, the sense of getting to know somebody through a TV set or through a video. So we're basically helping people bridge this gap from watching TV shows to watching us on video and starting to watch more business-related content. So I would say that in all of this, what I've noticed also, another trend in this whole video for entrepreneurs, is the standards are really going up. And the days of just throwing up a camera and just, you know, not worrying about what you look like and what's in the background, you know, those are fading away. There's a lot of people now investing in education about video. You know, everyone's talking about how hot video is and how video causes increased conversions on sales pages and sign up squeeze pages. So, and the standards are going up. So, and later on, I will talk to you a little bit about quality, but I do think that, you know, be aware that you do need to think a little bit more carefully about how you are presenting yourself on screen. So here are the biggest problems. Maybe you identify with these problems if you're on this call right now and you are concerned about being on camera. What will people think of me? You may be thinking, I hate myself on video. I hate the way I look. I look appalling. I look too fat. I look too gray, too bold, or whatever. A lot of people have this fear. Then the other one is, I am not as good as. They've watched somebody else on video. Maybe it's somebody in your niche. Maybe it's a marketer that you respect, and you've seen their videos and how they look, and you think, I'm not as good as them. I'm going to show myself up. It's going to be a disaster. So you may have thought of one of these, or if you're if you've got a chronic issue, you may have thought of all three of these. So I'm going to address these one by one and hopefully help you fix these. So what will people think of me? I want you to realize this, that people think much more about themselves than they do about you. When people are finding your videos, they are seeking information. They're seeking a solution, and your videos should be presenting them with a solution to the problems that they are facing. That is at the forefront of their mind. What are they going to get from the video that's going to help them solve the problem? They're not going out there looking to see what do the other marketers look like, or how pretty they are, or ugly they are, or what they're wearing. That isn't the major reason that they're coming to watch your videos. So just try and put that in your mind, that they are not looking at you. They're looking for what you're saying and what your content is. That's the main reason. Of course, they will look at you, but the main reason they're there is not for that. Know that you have something important to offer. So you have got to be on a mission, right? You have to have a mission. Your mission is you want to share your knowledge, your skills, your services, and you and I'm sure you're all providing amazing services. You're selling ethical products. So just feel really that you are actually contributing to the world, and that you are offering something very important, and people need that knowledge. So you are helping people with your knowledge, with your services. You're helping them get through issues they may have. Maybe it's their relationship issues if you're in that kind of niche. Maybe you're helping them grow their business. So you're contributing some real good in this world, and just latch on to that. That really helps. It helps a lot of people to really keep that in their mind, that they're on this mission which goes beyond what you look like or how you are on camera, because at the end of the day, that is rather superficial compared to this more core inner purpose. Because this is, you know, your purpose. This is why I believe that, you know, we are, without going all kind of crazy here, this is why we're kind of here, right, on this planet. We're here to contribute. We're here to actually enhance people's lives around us. So focus more on that than how are you appearing on camera and what are people thinking about you on camera. Notice my pause there. I'm going to talk about pauses later. So next bit, I hate myself on video. Well, pretty much everyone does hate themselves when they see themselves on video, especially early on, because your perception of yourself is different. Now, we are brought up looking at mirrors. Now, some people look at mirrors occasionally, some look at them a lot. Well, I don't know what kind of person you are, but you're looking at a reversed view of yourself in a mirror. It's a flipped view because it's a mirror. Whereas when you see yourself back on a video, you're not. And that spooks people out because their impression of themselves is all formulated through mirrors. So when you see yourself on video, that can put you off in terms of how you look. Secondly, your voice. You know, we hear our voices mainly, we hear them in our head as we speak. You know, we're hearing our voice coming out of our mouth, and we're hearing the kind of acoustic that's formed by our mouth and the position of our ears and our head. So that's our impression of our voice. But when we hear it back, whether it's on video or on an audio track, you know, it doesn't sound us like us. So you just got to accept that you've got to relearn who you are, what you look like, how you come across. And you've got to get used to that video you, because that is actually probably very, very close to actually how other people see you. And one way to do that is just watching your videos back over and over. Some people that I coach, they make their video, they put it out, and they can't bear to watch it, or they don't want to watch it. One exercise is, please do, when you make a video, and even if you're just doing testing, not making videos, not even publishing them yet, maybe that's your approach, to make test videos first. Just watch them back after you've made it, and then the next day, watch it back again, and watch it back, and you will get accustomed to you on video. And the more you do that, the less it will feel weird, the less you'll worry about it, because your perception of yourself will change, and you'll adapt to it. I also want to say that your target market will appreciate you for who you are. Let me just go back, sorry. Yeah, your target market will appreciate you for you. Because you're stepping out on camera, they are going to appreciate that fact, the fact that you have taken the step to do that for them. And the people that you are talking to are not perfect people. They're not all models, unless you happen to be maybe making products for models, training models. But generally, our audience are not models, right? and they're not perfect either. And if they see in you something that they can identify with, some imperfection, you know, maybe you're not a young 25-year-old, maybe you are in your 40s or 50s, and, you know, age takes its toll, right? I should know that. age takes its toll. So people will identify in you, and they'll think, look, there's somebody in their 40s. They're out there on camera. I can do it. So people will find a way to connect with you. Okay, let me move on. So I am not as good as. I used to think that a lot. I used to look at people and think, wow, they're fantastic. And I got to say openly that when I first started on camera, I was not the best. I'm probably not the best person ever on camera. I never really intended to be the best. Because I think some people are definitely born with some certain ability, and, you know, people end up being professional presenters and TV presenters and whatever. But for the rest of us, you don't have to be the best. You know, it's not really about being the best. It's about being your best possible self. So using what you have got to offer. It's your talents. It's your skills. It's your humor, maybe. It's your imperfections. But just being your best possible self and knowing that you will really improve. When I started out, and I can look back at my videos a couple of years ago, and, you know, you have to realize that I spent my life behind the camera as a director, not in front of the camera, so I had to make that step myself. And I look back at it, and I wasn't the greatest. I could see issues the more I watched my videos, that I was maybe a little bit too quiet, and I'm going to talk about that in more detail. But I just didn't feel I was me. And you will improve. You will improve through practice. I'm going to show you some ways to do that later on. Okay, so let's dive a little bit deeper. I hope you're enjoying it so far, and you're all good. So here's the five areas I want us to go into more depth with to master this idea of shining on screen. Your appearance, location, a bit of techie stuff, cameras, lights, and audio, your delivery, that's a very important one, and something I'm calling edit source, because I'll reveal all this later, but the way you edit your videos can actually influence how you actually come over on camera as well. So these are little five areas I'm going to go delve into a little bit more detail. So, because appearance is probably one of the first things people start to think about. And here's my advice for this. So I say scrub up. Now, that I don't know if you guys use that term, and that might feel like a foreign language. But what I mean by that is just put on a bit of a show, which is appropriate to your audience. So it depends, you know, what niche are you in. If you're in a accountancy or financial industry or maybe real estate, you'll know what your clients are expecting. So if you go out on appointments in a shirt and a tie, or if that's how you conduct your business, then maybe that is appropriate to you to be wearing that, rather than just slinging on a creased T-shirt and being very, very casual. If you're in that niche and the kind of content that you're delivering and talking about is towards that audience, then you need to dress appropriately. If, however, you're teaching lifestyle design or you know, making money on the internet or freeing up your life, and you know you're portraying yourself as being this person that has a nomadic existence, and you can work by the beach and you can chill out a lot, then obviously wearing appropriate, you know, casual clothing is going to reinforce your message. If you turned up with a shirt and a tie, it wouldn't be appealing to that particular audience. So think about your audience. I'm not going to go into detail with makeup, because I realize there's been a session inside this event or this product about makeup, which I guess at the end Rodney will point out where that is. But yeah, Makeup's been covered, so there is a session about that. I do say, though, in terms of makeup, it is important. It's good to have a little a makeup bag to have with you in your home if you're using a home studio, or to take out with you. And I'm going to be open, so if there's any men listening on the call, I'm going to make a confession. I do wear makeup on my videos. It's a very kind of new man thing to say, right? I do wear some makeup, but I don't wear makeup outside. When I go out, I don't wear makeup. But I have been known to put a little bit of makeup on when I get on camera, because particularly things like shiny faces, shiny foreheads, particularly if you're using studio lighting, that can be annoying. Anything that is distracting, that gets away from your message, is not good. You know, you don't want people to be focused on something, on shininess on your nose, when really they want to be focused on what you're talking about. So using makeup, definitely appropriate. Not laying it on thick, but just using some basic powder and just basic solutions. I do advise it. Now let's move on to talking about what to wear. And I'm going to start off actually talking about What Not to Wear, which is actually a famous TV show. I don't know if you've heard about it. But What Not to Wear. These things don't work well on camera. And again, if you get this wrong, immediately you've lost a bit of a battle here. Because, you know, even though this is not particularly about your own delivery or what you're saying, having clothing that distracts, you're losing the battle already in terms of your content. So things that don't work well on screen are, from the top here, top left, fine stripes, also small little checks like the shirt there. There's a term, I believe it's to do with a scientist from Belgium or France, moiré. It's called the moiré effect. So cameras don't like fine stripes and small checks. You'll get what's called buzzing. You'll get the lines shimmering. You may have seen some videos with this kind of shimmering. The shirt is moving. The lines are moving. Very distracting. So avoid those kind of clothes. Deep red. Cameras don't have great sensitivity to dark red, and if you wear dark red like that, you can get what's called bleeding. You get blurry edges as you move a little bit. The edges of your clothing can kind of blur a little bit and bleed out, so that's not the greatest color either. Bottom left here, now very attractive, but the issue with tops like this, I don't wear them personally, but if you're going to show bare shoulders, just be aware that if you're going to shoot at different shot sizes, it's okay if you're doing like a wide shot or a medium shot where you can see it, but if you start doing closer up shots, you may find that you actually crop out the top and it just looks like you and bare shoulders. And when you watch a video like that, it just looks like you are naked, because people just think, wow, they're just standing there naked because they can't see the top. So just be aware of that. Bright white, you can wear it, if you're thinking about using lighting and more like in a home studio, having a bright white, it can be kind of harder to light. Also, if you've got a camera that is based on automatic exposure, it can be fooled by the white shirt and it can make you look very dark, and the shirt will go grey, not white. So it can be a little bit trickier. So if you don't have to, then I advise not using bright white, particularly when you're starting out. Jewellery. Jangly jewelry, big mistake here. People put on like bracelets and things like that, and they use their hands and you hear that rattling, or they have a necklace and it's touching the microphone and you get, you know, they record the video and they think it's fantastic, and later they play it back and they can hear the jewelry hitting the microphone. If you've got to do, you know, if you want to use jewelry, one tip here is taping it, using a bit of tape, like to tape a necklace down so it doesn't move around. Some celebrities I've worked with refuse to take off their jewelry, their bracelets or their necklaces. They just won't do it. They refuse. And so the sound recordist would actually tape it down to stop it moving around. Yes, what are the good items? Well, on the left there, these mid-tone pastels, these work well. You're not going to get any major issues with them. Also, having a bit of color lifts your face. If you've got pale skin, or if you want to inject a bit of color into your skin tone, wearing a colored top really does lift your face, gives you a glow. Here's a few marketers doing it right here. You've got Gideon Shalwick here. He uses these T-shirts with slogans on quite a lot. This one says superstars. So it's kind of on, you know, he's a star video marketer, if you don't know who he is. And it's on message as well. It's kind of a little bit funky. And, you know, he's going to show himself that, you know, he's on YouTube. He's great on YouTube. He's not a stuffy marketer. He's not boring. He's quite fun in his approach, so it's very appropriate. Brendan Bouchard there, who's got a beautiful, I think he hires an office for his studio with a view out of the window, but he goes for nice, neutral, like his blue shirt here. Just gives it a really nice, high-key, clean look there, you know. Very simple, but you really focus in on his face there, and he's not wearing anything really distracting, so that works great. Marie Forleo, who does really amazing videos, you can check out her channel at Marie TV. It's on YouTube, Marie TV. you know, she's great with her wardrobe. She has professionals helping her, of course, but, you know, the two shots here, these deep but plain colours here work really well. They make a stand out of the backdrop. They don't distract you. You're not looking at the clothing, right, because it's got so many patterns on it, but it still adds some colour to the shot. So that's a few little tips there for you. So moving on swiftly, location is very important. Now, I'm talking about being on camera, but do realise that when people first hit your video, they're going to check you out. They're going to look at you for that first second or so. They're going to look at what you're wearing and just briefly, but also they're going to look at the background as well. People often forget that. They just put themselves up in front of the camera, but they don't think about the background. So use what I call your unfair advantage. In fact, this phrase has been coined from, I believe I heard it, a online entrepreneur, Lane Amen. I first heard her talk about unfair advantage, and I think Pat Flynn from Smart Passive Income, he's used it. So I just want to credit this little phrase here. But use your unfair advantage. Some people I notice, they live in amazing places. They've got, like, you know, a really nice living room, or they live near the beach, or they've got a great garden, but they end up just shooting it in their little box room, their little office, and because that maybe is simpler for them. But they end up maybe choosing the wrong location. But if you've got that, if you've got the benefits of having a nice location, then do use it, because a lot of people don't have that. So you need to use your advantage if you've got a nice location. Do treat it as your movie set, so keep it tidy. One mistake I see is people, they just film it up against a kind of a messy shelf. They don't tidy it up. The books aren't straight. They've got some sort of a crumpled bit of paper. They forget to notice that that's in the top right corner, or some pair of socks. That's a bit extreme, but you get my drift. You know, people are going to check it out, and it says a lot about you what's in the background there. So do tidy up, or have a particular location that you're going to use all the time that's kept tidy. If you're going to do a studio kind of look with a plain backdrop, then that's going to help you as well. Use props, so be strategic about using props. In one of my courses, I show behind the scenes where I film a blogger, and you know, I actually show you how to shoot it, but I also bring in, like, she had some lovely flowers, I brought them into the shot, I move things around, just add some color, a splash of color. So just think about what you can move into shot. It's going to help you. Avoid swivel chairs. Big mistake I see people on these swivel chairs, and they don't realize it, because they're so concerned about what they're talking about that they don't realize that they're actually moving left to right, left to right, left to right. And it's so distracting when you see somebody swiveling around on the chair. So avoid swivel chairs. Avoid high back chairs that they cut through the back of your head, or you see them behind the ears sticking out. Chairs with low backs or stools, they're actually better. So just a few examples here. This is what I'm talking about. When people don't take any care, they just go up against a grey wall and think it's going to look better than it is. It just doesn't look great. When I look at this, it just makes you feel, it feels very serious. It feels almost like that this is my attorney and I'm being questioned in some kind of room behind the police station. I don't know. I'm having a bit of fun here, but you see what I mean? It doesn't really make me enthusiastic about watching the video here. So that's a mistake people make. Now, even this background, now the lighting isn't great on this video, very direct sunlight, not great. But in terms of just the background I'm showing you here, just a bit of greenery here, immediately my mood changes. I feel more energetic about this video straight away. Just a simple change like that. And if it's in keeping with what you do, if you're talking about personal growth, development, if we're talking about gardening, of course, but anything that having a natural foliage behind you would feel right in keeping, then this can actually help you. And it just overall, you know, I guess what I'm saying here is that how you come across is not just about the words that come out of your mouth. It's about this total package going on here. Big mistake here, just the too busy kind of background where nothing really contributes to the shot. I mean, we can see that there's computers, but but you've got one sticking out of the ear here. You've got everything's busy, nothing quite feels in the right sort of place. Again, I look at a video like this and I think, why did they shoot here? Why is this a little bit messy? I've got these thoughts running through my head, so I lose a little bit of focus. So again, watch out for that. So simplify things, move things out, take a picture off the wall if it's coming out of your head. I would often, in TV, shooting interviews, I would often say, do you mind if I take that painting off the wall? That's just coming out of your head. Let's move that just for now. You know, things like that. Now, these are improved backgrounds. And this is, again, this is not perfect. I mean, again, the lighting here is not great. But this is MJ DeMarco. He's written a great book called The Millionaire Fast Lane, which is a great book to read. It's not a kind of spammy internet marketing type book. It's actually quite a thoughtful book. But it's called The Millionaire Fast Lane, MJ DeMarco. But he created some videos to promote his book. And, you know, when I just look at this location, it's just makes me feel, like, relaxed to watch the video. You know, and I can see the fruits of his labor. You know, he's obviously a millionaire. He's made a million through being an online entrepreneur. I look at this and see him chilling out at this, I think it might be a hotel, or I'm not even sure, maybe it's his flat. But I look at this backdrop, and it's just so much on the message that he's talking about, so relaxing to look at it. So, if it's appropriate and you can find this kind of location, that's going to really help you. Now, this is Frank Kern, who I'm sure many of you know is a sort of legendary internet marketer. And again, he creates these videos called The State of the Internet Address every quarter, I believe. And he talks about the state of the internet, and he chooses this location, and he makes some really good videos. He's very clever with his videos, and everything in this, again, you could say it's a little bit busy, maybe, you know, it's not perfect, but everything in here is telling you a message. You know, it fits the idea behind his video, state of the internet. So he's sort of in his kind of, like the White House, you know, he's behind this big desk. He's important, you know, he's showing you that he's important. He's got a big desk. You're at a little bit of distance, so listen up. I got something important to tell you. And he's got some things in the background. He's got pictures of his wife up there on the top shelf. So, you know, he's a family man, glamorous wife. He's got these pictures of iconic celebrities behind him. So, again, he's associating himself with coolness, celebrity. He's got some books on the shelf, so some knowledge there, but it's not just rows and rows of books. He's not a geek, not just books, bookworm, and academic. He's cooler than academic. He's wearing a nice light suit standing out from the background. So, again, a lot going on here. So you'd be surprised what goes on in the thinking behind these videos. And just think about what could you do? What could you add in that's going to actually help your message? Okay, number three. Cameras, lights, audio. Let's get a little bit techie here. So in terms of what you're going to film yourself with, well, you know, these days it's incredible what you can do with a simple device like your iPhone. And as Rodney mentioned before, I've got a reputation for teaching people how to use the camera they already own. And inevitably, a lot of people that own an iPhone or a smartphone, it's a great tool. You can do amazing things with it. The iPad as well. I know Rodney uses his iPad. The iPad mini especially is getting more and more fashionable for shooting video because with a bigger screen, you can see yourself more clearly as you film yourself. And there are ways and means of stabilizing it and putting it on the tripod as well. So, you know, that's the low-budget route, the route that I suggest that you start off with. And you can do great videos with these devices. Another trend that I've spotted is DSLR cameras. It's an EOS 600D there. It's very popular. So they look like stills cameras. They shoot amazing high-definition movie quality video. And the advantage is you can actually push the background out of focus. You might see these videos where the background is really blurred, and it gives you that kind of Hollywood filmic look. If you watch a Hollywood movie, you'll notice that when the actors are talking, the background is really out of focus. You're focusing on the actors. So This is a trend. It's a bigger investment, several hundred dollars, plus you're going to add in extra bits and sound recording equipment, normally a separate sound recorder. So there's other expenses. But again, I would say maybe in the sort of $700 mark, you're going to be able to get yourself equipped with a DSLR. The reason people are loving the iPhone, the iPad route is they already own it, you know, so that they don't have to make that investment straight off. So, again, these are certain suggestions I would make to you. Little tips here while we're talking about cameras is camera height. Big mistake people make is they put the camera too low or too high. So on the left, with a low camera, it feels like you're talking down to the person watching your video. And that immediately, I think that really inhibits the relationship because the person watching it thinks, why am I lower than this person? Why are they treating me beneath them? And that's not good. That's not good. You don't want to feel like you're being talked down to like a school teacher, if you see what I mean. So camera at eye height, you know, big tip here. When you put your camera on a tripod or however you're stabilizing it, get the lens of the camera and imagine a line going from the lens of the camera parallel to the floor to your eye. So it's parallel from your eye to the lens, not to the screen of the camera or to the lower part, but from the lens directly. If you drew a line from the lens to your eye, it would be parallel to the floor. Not too low, not too high. People looking up at cameras is not great either because, again, they look a little bit inferior. Like, why are they looking up at me? Again, it's a bit disconcerting. We're not used to it. The only reason I would say ever move the camera a little bit higher, just a touch, is if you've got issues under your chin. I'm talking about maybe you're worried about lines or double chins or whatever you might have. Raising the camera just a touch, I'm talking about an inch and a half, can actually hide what's going on under there. And if you put a light above the camera looking down, again, you can cast a little bit of a shadow down at that region. If you're worried about that's a way to help that. And actually, I'm going to, at the end of the webinar, show you where you can actually get some much more detailed information from me about this whole idea of lighting and how to light yourself to look better. A little brief bit about lighting that I have got in here for you is, you know, big mistakes people make, like on the left, just no lights, just having like a light bulb above the head. The guy on the left here, everything's lit except for him. The background's lit. The light's so high up, it's just lighting the top of his head. Again, just, I don't think it does you a service. Some people say to me, yeah, but it's just, you know, get your video out there, doesn't matter. And, yeah, in some degrees, they're right. You know, better to get videos out there than not make them. But sometimes just a little simple tweak, I just think people need to think about that just to improve it, particularly as I mentioned earlier, how standards are moving forward, you know. So, again, no light is not really a great option. Having very contrasty light, like in the middle, just one light on a stand, just really hard lighting with a big shadow on the left. Again, not flattering, makes you kind of look a little bit mean, tough. You know, it might work if you're a martial artist or something, you know, maybe that's appropriate, but for the average entrepreneur, not the greatest. Look, you want to go for more softer lighting, particularly for females. That is the best lighting to have if you want to have really flattering lighting, soft lighting. You'll notice on YouTube a lot of the makeup videos. There's a lot of girls doing amazing videos about makeup on YouTube, getting loads of followers, and they're getting very good at lighting. They're using soft lighting, soft boxes. So think about the lighting. Now, I'm not going to go into any more detail because I've got this gift for you, which is actually going to go into detail about what lights to get, how to use them. So we'll, as I just said, we'll talk about that right at the end. Audio, crucial. Getting your audio right gives you more presence because you want to create this relationship, this face-to-face kind of relationship that I talked about. If you just rely on your internal microphone of your camera, you get this rather hollow audio. If you're in an echoey room, your audio goes very hollow and you lose that face-to-face effect because when we talk to people, we're not used to hearing them kind of distant. You know, we expect to hear them as if they're right there in front of you. So getting your audio right is very important. So don't just rely on the internal mic. Think about using external microphones. Avoid box rooms that are echoey. If you can't help it, then you can invest in some sound dampening that you can actually attach to your wall. You can do things like put blankets and fabrics around. In TV, I've done this, well, with sound recorders who we had to film in a room and had no choice. They would bring some kind of fabric or and drape it around the room and try and dampen it so that there's not so much echo. So that's if you're stuck. Ideally, you want to find a room to film in that has already got some natural furnishings, sofas, curtains. These things will help your audio sound less echoey. But use a mic. If you don't want to invest in a mic and you happen to do webinars or you do training videos, you've probably already got one like a Blue Yeti or a podcasting mic. You could use that as a mic. You could record your audio into your laptop, into your computer, and then record the video on your camera and literally just match up the audio that you've recorded into your computer, match it up with the video, and then delete the video that's come from the camera and replace it with the good audio that you've recorded. So a podcasting mic is one way. Getting a simple, this is a $20 mic, Audio Technica 3350 that plugs into many cameras. This is gets a microphone up close to you. That's a really low cost solution. This Sony here is a Bluetooth mic, wireless. So if you happen to be in the fitness business, or you need to walk around, you need to maybe present against the whiteboard and move up and down, have flexibility with your movements, then having a Bluetooth mic, this is quite a low cost, I'm saying $130 mic maybe. Sony ECM AW3, you wear one of these on you and you can conceal it under your clothes a little bit, and the other one connects to your camera. So again, that gives you another option. These are just some entry-level options here, really. Now, I'm not sure if it's clear on that picture, but getting the mic, you'll see if you can, I hope, on the suit, the lapel microphone is clipped in there. Getting the mic in right up nice, close to your face, not too close, that's a good position for it, either on the jacket there or having it central. Again, if you've got a bright shirt, and in this case, the dark jacket's not a bad place for it because it kind of hides it, but having it on your shirt at that sort of distance is a pretty good rule to work with. If you don't want to show it, one tip here is you can actually tape it. You can get some tape and you can tape both sides of it and you can actually stick it onto your chest. If you've got a hairy chest, just watch out for this, but you can stick it onto your chest under your clothes, stick it to your clothes, and you can actually conceal it if you don't want to see the microphone. You might not be worried about that, but just getting it nice and tight gives you that presence. So some really quick tips here about audio. Great. I hope you're good right now and you're enjoying it so far. And I'm going to move on to number four, which is delivery. So let's talk about, you know, we've gone through some of the opening strategies about getting your mindset right. We've talked a bit about the technical side of it and what to wear. Let's talk about the delivery. So what you need to think about is being animated in your videos. You've got to start to think happy, positive thoughts just as you're about to do your videos. Your mood really has an influence over how you speak, how you come over. So you've got to get yourself animated. That could mean doing something physical, maybe a little doing some exercises. I know some people, they actually do some warm-up before webinars. They actually do some push-ups before they do webinars to get themselves invigorated. So you need to feel invigorated and you need to speak with that thought in your mind of being keen, confident, of being happy to deliver this content. And that has an influence about your voice. You need to raise your level. You need to raise your level. So what you might think is an acceptable level, I don't mean just how loud you speak. I mean how you emphasize your words, what you inject into your words. Now, a big mistake is if you're feeling a little bit nervous, you start getting quieter, a little bit more monotone, and you start, the camera starts sort of sucking in all that energy and you start losing it when it goes into the camera. It's incredible. You've got to think about being much bigger than you would normally expect. And there's this diagram on the right, and it's just sort of a symbolic thing, but here's a little thought to put in your mind, right, that you are a little tiny speck. This is sort of a map of the the global internet, okay? And you are a tiny speck in that. You're on your camera in your home or your office, wherever you are. You've got to reach these people who are miles and miles away. And to do that, you've got to speak into this digital device, this camera, or this microphone. That's going to be edited, encoded, uploaded, put on the web, and then somebody's going to connect to the web, and then they're going to watch it. So it's going through lots of Wi-Fi and cables and all sorts to get down to the other end where this person's watching it. Now, this is kind of rather symbolic, but you've got to reach that distance, so you've got to put this extra energy so that as all this technology gets in the way, it will come out the other end and it will still look great and it will still come over well. So try and imagine that you're pushing this through this huge sort of stratosphere. And I think if you think that, it actually does help you start to talk a little bit more, a little bit more emphasis in your words, a little bit more energy, okay? It's just a sort of symbolic thought to think about. I've noticed one thing. When I was working with TV presenters in studios, how if you ever get a chance to go to a TV studio behind the scenes, it's really worth going to do and have a look at how it works. But when I was there working with presenters, really top presenters, when they got on camera and I was actually in the room with them, I could just, they were different. I could feel how much more emphasis they put on their words, how they stress certain words, how they were more invigorated compared to when I was just talking to them casually. And I could just see this energy that they were putting into the camera. But when I watched it on TV, it just looked absolutely acceptably fine. But in the studio, it just felt so much more energetic. And I realized that there is some loss that happens as it gets to the screen. Another way to think about this, another maybe this might help you, is think about if you are talking to somebody in a noisy coffee bar. So you're not in a quiet little room, you know, where you can whisper a little bit and a little bit quiet. You're in this sort of Starbucks and there's babies crying as there normally is in Starbucks and people chatting. And you've got to a little bit raise your voice, but more likely you've got to literally more engage with the person you're talking to. You've got to sit up a little bit. You've got to make sure that they can hear what you're saying. So again, if you think more like that, I think that's more like the way you need to think about delivering your videos. Don't go over the top and start shouting and going crazy, but just give yourself this extra 20%. Okay, in terms of, again, continuing with delivery, speaking. Speak to one person. You know, this is not public speaking. It's very different. You don't have a big audience there. You're speaking, you're not up on a stage. You're speaking to one person, okay? And try and think about this customer avatar. If you're in marketing or in business, you hear this a lot. You know, who is your avatar? Who is this person you're trying to attract? So you've got to know this avatar and have them in your mind that you're speaking to this particular person. You're not speaking to your parents. You're not speaking to your kids. You're speaking to this avatar that you're trying to reach. So one way is have a picture of them and pin it up behind the camera and have it there as a sort of reminder that this is the person you're talking to. TV presenters do this. I've seen, for example, a kids' TV presenter, they would actually have a picture of their child and they would pin it up somewhere behind the camera, and that would just remind them that they're actually speaking to kids in the audience. So again, it might be if they're doing a show aimed at adults, they might have their mother there because the show is aimed at that age, that generation, that age group. So again, have that in your mind, maybe have a picture. Another little tip here for your delivery, an occasional glance away. Okay, we're making eye contact with this camera, right? This lens is the person you're talking to, so you're going to make contact, of course, with eye contact. Looking at the top of the lens, for some reason, works well. Rather than looking in the center of the lens, just the top edge of the lens. Presenters tend to look at that top edge of the lens rather than the center of the lens. But not totally always looking at the lens, particularly for our online videos, an occasional glance away, particularly at a pertinent point. You've made a big point. It's a pause point. Glance away, glance back, carry on. Just constant looking at the lens can become a little bit monotonous, and just doing that, it just resets the attention. And we are in the business here of getting attention, keeping attention onto our videos, becoming more and more important for people to keep watching. You know, YouTube are looking at how long people are sticking with your videos, how long they're watching them. So again, having a glance away resets the attention of the viewer, gives them a little bit of a pause. And the next line here, you know, breathing before you, in your pause, you need to be sure that you're taking in enough breath before you start talking again, because what happens is you'll start running out of breath during your sentences. So use those pause moments for a deep breath. But I'm using this idea here of pace and pause. So, for example, you may be going through some technical details or some aspect of your product or your course where having a bit of pace is actually very useful in your voice. So speeding up your voice, emphasizing how many amazing things you're going to get in this course, and you're going to get this and this and this and this. And that's energy. Yeah, that's showing energy. That can be actually useful. But then as you're getting to something more emotional, or maybe you're getting to the point where you're pitching and you want to get people to start to pay attention and focus on what you're about to offer them. Again, you can see I'm just slowing down there. And again, people, their attention is reset and they're thinking, why? He's gone slow now. Something good's coming. And, you know, as humans, we need to be able to, we're constantly in life trained to reset our attention. You walk down the street, you don't walk in a straight line. You look left, you look right, you look for dangers, for hazards. As humans, we're programmed with this alertness to look for danger. You know, is that car gonna leave the road and run me over? Is that person a threat? That's an interesting sign. We're used to resetting our attention. So occasionally resetting the attention keeps people with your videos. Having cue cards is useful, you know, having them in your hand, or using your iPad on a desk, not using the technology, not being trying to hide it, but having an iPad on your desk as a feature with your bullet points can be very handy. Some people tape them behind the camera, or they have huge bits of paper and they write some big key words. Again, be careful not to glance at the writing. Have it in your peripheral vision where you can see it, but don't be reading off camera. It looks distracting, but you can have those as a cue behind the camera. Auto cue, I'm not going to go too much into that. Again, if you're doing long videos, having auto cue can help you. If you're trying to record a 20-minute video without too many mistakes, can be handy. But when you're starting out, I would say don't start with auto cue. Start without auto cue and just have bullet points and work around bullet points. As I said before, record your videos and re-record, play back, and just analyze your deliveries. Anything distracting, anything you can improve. Number five, editing. Editing can help your videos. If you suffer and you find that you feel that your voice is a little bit dull, or just your voice may be a little bit monotonous and you're struggling to get away from that, or your subject matter you might find is a little bit dry and you just can't inject that energy, editing can really help you. Changing the shot sizes, so shooting, filming yourself on a wide shot and on a tighter shot and bouncing back and forward between the shots adds energy to your delivery. So it cuts from a wide shot, tight, wide, tight, adds energy automatically. Using music under your videos, not choosing good music that complements you and your message, having some music that instantly lifts it. I've done TV shows where we interviewed somebody who we thought was going to be great. They were very important for the show, and when we played it back, it just didn't work. It just felt a little bit monotonous. Their tone of their voice wasn't great. Music has helped that a lot, and has cutting the interview into shorter bits, shorter chunks, editing it, using music has really improve that person's on-camera performance tremendously. So do think about that. Adding extra shots can help you. B-roll is a film term. It really means the main role would be like the main sync, the main audio, sorry, the main speech, the main audio would be the A-roll. The B-roll would be the shots. So this could be like shots of your product, shots of people working out, if you're a fitness coach, exterior shots, shots of a house, whatever it might be, using extra shots, adding more interest can actually help your message get across, add more energy. So overall, improves your videos. And talking about shot sizes, a simple little trick to wrap it up really is what's called a zoom cut. There's a vlogger called iJustine. You can find her at youtube.com, iJustine. She makes very energetic videos. And I just grabbed a little example here. But basically, if you are using particularly a smartphone or a camera that doesn't have a really good zoom function, what you can do is, or if you're recording in your home studio, you can record a shot, and then when you edit it, you can actually zoom in. So you can basically cut the shot, zoom in on the shot in your edit software. Most edit software allow you to zoom the shot a little bit bigger. So you zoom it up, and then you cut it, and then you go back to the conventional shot. So you're just filming it once, but you're actually cutting it, zooming in a bit, seeing yourself closer, cutting it out again wider. And again, this gives you this bounce back and forth, and it just adds a lot more energy into your delivery. Even though what you're saying hasn't changed, it just psychologically adds more energy into your videos. So a little sort of trick there to end up with. So in conclusion, hopefully you find it useful. Hopefully you've had some aha moments that you feel kind of fired up to go out and make a video, share your message and get on camera. Define this person that you're talking to. Do think about some of the technical aspects, and I have more to share on that in a second for you in the free gifts. And do practice and play back your videos and get used to your video self, so to speak. So that wraps it up for me. Now, this is where you can actually claim these gifts. I've got two for you. One is, if you're into iPhone and iPad particularly, I've got a manual that I wrote, and it's full of more technical little tips about what you need to do to accessorize your iDevice to make it, to turn it into this sort of video marketing machine. Technical tips there, plus a few strategic tips about how to use the portability of your iPhone or your iPad to actually use it for your marketing efforts. So that's an ebook I've got. And also, if you want to get more into the home studio and you're worried about, you know, how to set it up, what backgrounds to use, what's going to work for you, lighting and different lighting setups to actually enhance the way you look, I've got a recording of an exclusive Hollywood lighting webinar I did. It's not available on the open web. Again, I'm making that available for you guys, for Rodney. So, again, you can claim these gifts by going to getpaidforyourcreativity.com/gifts. So I want to bring Rodney back in now. Hey, Rodney.
Hi, I'm here, Jules. This has been a fantastic, and I hope that you guys got a lot of great nuggets out of this. I mean, I hope you agree this was fabulous. I knew instantly that this was going to be one of the best, one of the most beneficial presentations, because so many people, again, talk about the marketing, the end product, i.e. meaning the finished video. But there's very little training that I have found out there that really discusses about how to create that product to begin with. And again, meaning you are the product. So what Jules has really done here is broken down all of the steps that you need from, you know, being fully present yourself, you know, coming into it with a positive attitude, with lots of energy, making sure that you're wearing clothing. Like, for example, I never really thought about the whole thing about, you know, this about wearing dark red. I knew about stripes because I'm a photographer, so I knew about the stripes, but I didn't know as much about wearing dark red, for an example, or the bangles on the bracelets and things like that. And, you know, these are all little details that we just don't really think about, but when you're being videoed, videotaped, you know, it the camera picks up every single thing. I mean, you notice especially the backgrounds alone, you know, what's going on behind you, you know, what, you know, are things neat and tidy? Does the set look proper? You know, is it reflective of your message? You know, I believe it was Natalie that said, said this yesterday, I don't remember, but I said that, you know, is your message matching your marketing? Because all of this ties in together. And in particular, the things that Jules spoke about in tip number four was about bringing in energy and using your voice. Now, if you've been on all of the calls over the last 3 days, you know, Ariana on Monday spoke extensively about the power of voice and how to use your voice. And Jules brought up a fantastic point that echoes right back to what she said on Monday, was that when you're being videotaped, you know, you're doing videos for yourself, you may seem like you're yelling, or you may seem like you're overly animated, and it may seem like it's almost too much, but it's really interesting. On video, it's actually at the right level that the person on the other side of the screen is looking at actually gets it. It seems over the top to you in the moment. It may feel that way, but it's actually right at the perfect level it needs to happen for the end user using this. So what Jules has really done here is echoed in several other instances, some of the other presenters in this program, and then I hope, I feel, bring it all kind of back in together. And then, of course, you know, we're going to have Nikki on in a little less than an hour, and it's going to be going into much more depth about your makeup and how to actually prepare yourself so that your brand reflects what Jules has also talked about. So, again, all of these pieces fit in together to make a complete, I consider it to be a complete entrepreneur. You've got your message down. You've got the way you present yourself. Now you're going to be able to embrace video in a way that will remove hopefully some of the fear. And be willing to do some test videos. Be willing to, quote-unquote, be bad on video, if you will. Be willing to fail fast, if you will. And you'll find that you'll get comfortable. You know, me personally, I thought I would never get to that place, and it happened relatively quickly. So, Jules, first I want to say heartfelt thank you so much for delivering such amazing content. I hope that everyone here downloaded that intention guide and took copious notes of the things that Jules shared with you, because, again, these will be things that will serve you well. So first I want to say thank you very much for being with us today and sharing all of this wonderful teaching.
Oh, great. No, it's been a pleasure, Rodney, absolute pleasure. So, yeah, I hope people are fired up now and they're going to get their cameras out tonight or today, wherever you may be in the world, and start experimenting. And even if you're making videos already, just think, you know, how can you take them to the next level? What can you do to take them up to the next level? Because, you know, as I said before, like, quality sells, yeah, and people, the quality of people are changing, the quality improving all the time. So, you know, you can really, it's a great opportunity to stand out in your particular field for your videos if you get this education and put it into practice.
Absolutely, absolutely. And think of it this way, is that you'll be doing the thing that sometimes your competition's not doing or may be doing, and you can learn how to make yours even better. You know, and you know, as Jules mentioned, he's graciously provided us with two wonderful gifts. These are completely free bonuses that he's prepared for you. You can go to, as Jules mentioned, getpaidforyourcreativity.com/gifts. Or if you're watching this as the webinar, you'll see to the left of the screen there's a button there that says Access Bonuses. Please click on that. That'll take you right to the gift page directly. You can do it that way as well. And scroll down, and you will need to just enter in your name and email, but you will receive those bonuses. The iPhone Video Marketing Manual is brilliant. Again, that's how I was introduced to Jules. I don't have an iPhone. I was purchasing an iPad Mini, and I shoot all of my own personal videos on the iPad. Actually, the video, I think if you register, which you probably have for this program, the video that I shot on the thank you page of this program, I did with an iPad. You know, I had a little bit of lighting issue that day because I had a lot of hard light coming in from outside. But, you know, I think it was a good effort. And, you know, for me, just the fact that I even have it up there at all is amazing, because, again, I wouldn't have even considered it even 8 months ago. So if I can get past it, you can get past it. And I'm, you know, 50 and well, soon to be 50. And with everything that Jules mentioned, why I would not want to do it. But, you know, it's actually not as bad as you think. So please go over and claim those gifts for yourself, because again, you know, he's graciously extended this time. And Jules is in London. You know, he's made time out of his evening. You know, he's 8 hours ahead of us to be here with us this afternoon. So I really again want to give again a great, wonderful thanks for his appreciation and his generosity and giving us his time and sharing us his valuable training. And this is something that's a part of his course. So he's taken a piece of his course and gifted it to you today, with this webinar. So we all owe him a wonderful wonderful thanks and gratitude for that. So we do. We do. Thank you very much, Jules. Very much so.
Oh, great. Yeah, thanks very much.
Absolutely. So, everyone, we are going to wrap up the session, and we're going to get back together again in about 45, maybe 50 minutes or so. We'll be getting together with Nikki Incandela of Nikki Incandela Photography, and she is going to actually extend on what Jules has started with us, but focusing on makeup and how your image is reflective of your brand and why you want to have an image that really stands out and makes you you and your business. So please come back and join us. That will be back to the telephone. It will be a telephone. The rest of the sessions today will be telephone only. Obviously, we did a webinar for Jules because it's visual and you needed to see what he was showing you. So we'll be on the phone for the rest of the calls today. So we'll have Nikki on at 2 o'clock. We will have followed up by Aaron Huggins coming on at 3 o'clock, which will be talking about YouTube marketing in particular, and then we'll have Rita Barber wrapping up the masterclass and the third day at 4 o'clock, speaking on the topic of turning your inspiration into your vocation. So again, thank you, Jules, and enjoy the rest of your evening. And everyone else, I will see you back here in about 45 minutes. Have a good day. Bye-bye.